Blog Talk Radio.
His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You sumbitches, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms, your comrade in battle, it's Sean Kwali. Happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from the hails and the smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count it an esteemed honor, and I count it an esteemed joy to be able to talk to you in the black nation. And I know that the enemy is listening as well, but I count it a privilege to talk to my family from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio. We on this day find ourselves giving honor and paying tribute and giving thanks to all of our ancestors and those who have paved the way for us to walk in the light of a brighter sun and to breathe some fresher, cleaner air. We're thankful for all of those who have struggled, who have took lives, given lives for the liberation and salvation of our people. Giving supreme thanks to the black God. Of course, and there's no God without that goddess. Giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and our foremothers who answered to many different names. For this day, that we're able to struggle and to build and to motivate and to inspire our people to form movements, black power movements and black power cadres, and to empower their own lives and our own lives right where we are. This is definitely Black Power Radio. And I have to tell you that we're coming in the spirit of a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man, 100% black man who's uncompromising, unrelenting, unflinching, and wouldn't quit on this enemy, who said that his sole purpose was to give our enemies and those who opposed us hell from the cradle to the grave. And we bear witness that that is exactly what he did, and that is exactly the legacy that he left, and that is exactly what we're continuing today in this hour, 2011. We're talking about the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and we have to give thanks for his chief student and number one representative, a man who is fighting hard on the battlefront, making sure that the name of the Black Power General and the work of the Black Power General and the mission that was bestowed upon him when he was in his mother's womb, when he was in his mother's womb and brought forth into the world, the mission that was put on him be carried forth, that he bring our people together, the lost tribe, the disunited, disjointed tribes of our people, pull them together and make us organize into one common cause, one common goal, and one common army. I'm talking about the national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, a man who you will hear from tonight. By the grace of God, you will hear from tonight and be able to be blessed by and motivated, inspired from. Talking about Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, also very happy to have on the line with us, and they will carry us further into the program. Two soldiers who have been kicking up much dust over the years in the southern region, and who have been dedicated to this mission, who have held the line, and who have not backed down one iota when it came time to make war with this beast. And I'm talking about our National Minister of Defense, Brother DK, and I'm talking about our representative there, our Southern representative there, Sister Ira, who is working hard, who is also in charge of the Tuba to Johnny Express. That's where we are sending and shipping over 4 tons of goods to Senegal and Africa. We're shipping the goods. We're dealing with the Panther program and talking about food, clothing, and shelter and the preservation and protection of our nation and our people. And so that's our Sister Ira, who is in charge of that, and she'll give you information on that and much, much more. Definitely have to tell you all that the number to call, if you're listening by phone and you're not there by a computer, the number to call is 646-478-4447. Again, it's 646-478-4447. You make sure that you get on and you press number 1. We're going to go hard into it. We're not going to hold anything back tonight. We got to go at it in the spirit of the Black Power General. And so I do want to go ahead and get right into the show, because I know time is running, and we'll do ladies first, and we will bring on our sister Queen, who has served in the capacity of Southern Region, Regional Chief of Staff, and now is organizing on high levels and making sure that the goods get to Senegal and Africa, and making sure that our political prisons are taken care of, and making sure that the movement on the ground is happening the way that it's supposed to. Brothers and sisters, would you please help me to bring to Black Power Radio our sister, comrade, and friend. This is Sister Ira. Black Power, sister.
Hey, Black Power family, how you doing?
Doing very, very good. How are you, Queen?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Still in the hells of North America, but I'm good.
Then we just all right then. Sister, talk to us and tell us a little bit about your program and what you got going on, and let's stretch out a little bit. Talk to the people.
Okay, first I want to say that we are doing an excellent program, as you know, Brother Sean, with trying to bridge the gaps over in Africa right now with our supplies that we're going to send to Senegal. We're collecting in each city. We're even taking donations, but we're collecting clothes, shoes, anything that my brothers and sisters need here in the States. We're going to be supplying those to our brothers and sisters in Senegal, because we need to close those gaps and prepare for repatriation. And I also had a young lady to ask on Facebook today, what are we doing for the children here in North America? Well, I, you know, explained to her that we do weekly, you know, food and clothing drives. We haven't let our brothers and sisters down here in the States, we're also providing for them, you know, on a weekly basis, or either we're supposed to be doing that. And if we're not doing that in the cities, that needs to be brought to our attention.
Yes, ma'am. What is the idea behind the Tuba to Johnny Express? What is the idea? Who is the brainchild? And how can the people get behind it?
Actually, the brainchild for the project is Chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz. He has to take credit on all of that, and he kind of incorporated all of us that's around it as a team, you know. And he and some other very serious leaders, you know, some that are in Africa and here in the States as well, thought, again, you know, this would be a good way for us to bridge the gaps with our African families, because we're so disconnected. And right now we just need to reconnect. And he thought this would be a great avenue in order for us to do that in, and a great capacity.
Yes, ma'am. What is the goal? What is the goal of the Express?
The goal, like I said, is to send 6,000 pounds of clothing, supplies, and shoes, and anything that we can get, which equates out to about 3 tons. And if we get more than that, that's perfect. You know, that would also serve a purpose. Also, I want to put out there, I know I've been talking about the supplies and everything, but we do need donations. You know, we spoke a little bit about that last week, you know, on the radio show, and we do need donations. We need help. We have a lot of support, you know, on these social sites and different media outlets that we're on, but we really need donations. No donations are too small, because right now we're doing it all out of the pockets of the New Black Panther Party and other organizations that are helping us. So it's very important that we get donations, and that information, I can give it to them, you know, via Facebook, or they can call me, you know, on my phone, you know, and get additional information on how, you know, they want to send monies if they can't, you know, get the shoes and the clothing right now.
And so the main thing that we're sending now, we're sending, you say, clothes, we're sending shoes. Can they send anything outside of clothes and shoes?
Well, right now, we don't want any perishable items. We just want items like clothes, shoes, supplies, anything, you know, that our children need here in the United States of America, their children need there. But we're focusing really on clothes and shoes and, like I say, monetary gifts if possible.
Yes, ma'am. What is your thoughts right now with the current situation there in Africa with the recent, assassination attempt of Colonel Muammar Gaddafi and the current crisis that's in our mother country?
I've been really just glued to the news right now. I'm very upset about the current conditions that's going on right now against Colonel Gaddafi over in Libya. I was explaining that situation to my children earlier that, you know, this is an African man. And, of course, you know, when you're dealing with white supremacist society here in America, you know, they don't want to have an African man leading an African country. And, you know, it just really, really upsets me, you know, that whole situation is going on. And they have the nerve to call this man a killer when the United States of America was born and birthed on killing our people, raping us as women and children and even boys and girls, you know, along the way. So they have some nerve to call our brother a killer.
Especially when their history's paved and covered in blood. We have an international helper over there in Africa, Brother Kenny Sheba, and also international representative Brother Huey Rose, who was on the program about a couple days ago. And so have they been in contact with you? Are you all working together? Do you all plan to work together?
Yes, sir. We're all working together at this point. Hopefully one day soon we will get to meet each other. I am planning a trip in Ghana to look over repatriation things for Africans here in the United States to look at, along with land ownership papers and all that. So I'm hoping when I get to Ghana in January, I'll get the chance to finally meet my brothers and sisters abroad.
Yeah, definitely, because how can we be Pan-Africanists if we don't travel, right?
Black power.
Definitely.
That's exactly right.
I talk to our people here in the States, and I'm going to cut you off. Our people here in the States, talk to us about the importance of supporting Africa, because it seems like many of us here don't understand why we should support the mother continent. We're more focused on what's happening with us here, of course, but why should we support Africa?
It's important that we support Africa because that's where our lineage is from. That's where we as a people come from, you know, and that is so far-fetched to most American Negrotized Negroes here, you know, that they can't quite grasp that concept. But until we get back to, like, our grassroots of where we came from, we're going to continue to be in this condition that we're in right now. And right now we're in a state of emergency because we don't know our language, we don't know our culture, we don't know our religion. We've been robbed of everything. And we just need to get back to the square roots, get back down to the basics. And it starts at home.
What is the current condition of Africa, sister?
Oh, the current condition. The current condition right now of Africa, it depends on really which part that we're looking at, because Ghana, as we know, they're a very rich country, whereas our brothers and sisters over in Senegal and different regions, you know, they're a very poor country. And, you know, we have to focus on helping our brothers and sisters over in West Africa, you know, get the riches that are due to them by, I guess, kind of transitioning everything from the United States of America to Africa.
As you look at the African scene right now, the international scene right now, and it's dealing with this Tucson Express, do you see any African leaders that are puppets of the U.S. power?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I was walking outside.
Yes, ma'am. I was saying as you look at our continent, the mother country of Africa,
hey,
the international scene, do you see any African leaders over there right now as U.S. puppets?
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge that I can just openly say, you know, anything, you know, about them right now. I would have to just really, you know, just study them and look at them. But not right now, not to my knowledge.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Today, by the way, family, is the assassination day of Dr. Minister Huey P. Newton. Could you sit for
right.
a second talk about the Honorable Dr. Huey P. Newton and what he means to you?
I think when Huey P. Newton, he actually
it will be over here. He actually laid the foundation down and the footwork down for the new Black Panther Party as we have it today. Of course, you know, they tried to discredit his name with that botched assassination in which they did to him, but he really laid the groundwork and the footwork for what we are right now as an organization today.
Yes, ma'am. And did he have a personal impact on your life?
Actually, I believe he should have a personal impact on anybody's life who say that they're a revolutionary. He should have an impact on all of our lives in one way or the other.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. So for those who are listening who want more information with the Tubuchidani Express, they want to get involved, they want to know where to send their items, their clothing, can you tell us how to do it?
Can they? Yes, if they want to get a hold of us, they can reach me at 405-294-2283, and our email address is mbptsenegal@hotmail.com. And they can also reach me on Facebook, Ayera Ayotunde Ife. And again, they can call me at 405-294-2283.
Yes, ma'am. And lastly, what can we expect out of the Southern region, the New Black Panther Party?
Oh, my goodness. What can't you expect from the Southern region of the New Black Panther Party? We're going to be doing a lot of big things. We've got a lot of reorganization coming into play right now. My goodness, what can you not expect? The New Black Panther Party, the Southern region, is going to probably just really take it over. Expect big things from the Southern region. You heard it first.
I heard it first. Big things from the Southern region. So hopefully we don't tip over with all that weight we just put on ourselves.
Oh, no, we won't tip over with all that weight. We're gonna make it happen. We're going to be, you know, set the standards.
Yes, ma'am. Anything you'd like to say lastly to the audience?
Lastly to the audience, like I said again, I want them to really, really get into what we're doing to supplies for Senegal. Supplies to Senegal right now, I want them to really help us take a lead on that. We want to make history. We always know that the enemy is looking, and they want us to fail, you know, in anything that we do. So we want to get behind this, and we want to push it to we can't even push it anymore. It's just that important. This right here will be the foundation for us to break into a totally different playing field.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Can you get the number out one more time in the contact? One more time.
Yes, my contact number is 405-294-2283. Again, that was 405-294-2283. And the email is mbptsenegal@hotmail.com.
Okay. So, Daya, we thank you so much on behalf of Black Power Radio and our listeners. We look forward to helping you make sure that 3 tons, or hopefully over 3 tons, get to Senegal and get to the other African nations as you organize this. We appreciate you.
Okay. And like I say, all donations and all supplies are greatly appreciated. We don't want anything that's too worn. We want, you know, nice items to send our brothers and sisters.
What's the deadline? That's what I need to get out. What's the deadline?
The deadline, we're trying to, our ship date is October the 1st. So it's going to be, I'm not in front of a calendar, so it's going to be that weekend before October the 1st. And what we're trying to do, we're going to have a truck that's going to go to different cities to pick up these different donations. So that's another thing that's in the working. So it won't be an expense for some, you know, other people to try to, you know, get their shipments, you know, shipped and all that stuff.
So somewhere around the 24th of September or so.
Right, right.
Okay. All right. That's important. Okay, sis, we're going to help you with all we got.
Please, it would be greatly appreciated. And like I said, I think we should all get behind Chairman Malik because he's doing an excellent, excellent program. And, you know, he have all these excellent programs, you know, that we must help him push and present. And we got to present it in a good light.
Yes, ma'am. We hear and we obey.
Okay.
Ma'am.
All right,
okay.
Then, brother, with Black Power.
All right, sister. I hear a Black Power to you. Thank you for all your work and your hard effort. And like I said, we look forward to organizing with you. And I want to say to the family, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. If you say you're a Pan-Africanist or you say that you're for the rise of our people and the protection of our mother continent, you get what I said to Sister Ayera. Black power, sister.
Hey, black power, brother.
All right, that's Sister Ayera, Icy Sister Ayera, giving you the 411 on what's happening there in Senegal and what's happening with this movement, this Tuba to Johnny Express, where we're sending over three tons of goods, clothing and shoes, and necessary items to our brothers and sisters that are there in Senegal and ultimately across the country in due time. It's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing because guess what? When you help your brother, you help your sister, you're helping yourself. All of you who say that you're righteous, you should want for your brother or your sister what you want for yourself. And yes, we are interested in, and we will maintain our programs here on the soil and in the States and making sure that the clothes get to the young boys and girls here in the States and food to the young boys and girls here in the States and necessary resources here to our brothers and sisters in the States. But we cannot forget the mother continent and our homeland, our throne that has given life and breath to the world, and that's the continent of Africa. And as long as Africa is under attack, then we have a duty to fight the barbaric hands of these U.S. imperialists and NATO and all of them by any means necessary, and it starts with the basic essentials. And so I do once again want to thank you, Sister Ayera, for your work and stepping up and enacting General Order Number 1, which is to take charge of your post and all black nation property in view. We are thankful for you, sister. And I want to move along now to another half, another portion, another half of our southern region. Now, the southern region, you know, when what they say about the South, they say that the South is the foundation. You know, whatever's at the bottom, that's your foundation of your house. That's your foundation of your body. That's the foundation of your mind, the South. And so we're giving you another half of the foundation of the New Black Panther Party. For those of you that don't know, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense started in Dallas, Texas. Came up out of Dallas, Texas. And so that's the area where you hear these brothers and sisters are from. They're from the South. And so it's my honor now to bring to Black Power Radio our brother, a man who is a longtime veteran in this party, and who has been away from Black Power Radio, and he's now going to make his presence known, and not only on Black Power Radio, but I know that he is intent on making his presence known and his presence felt throughout the black nation and the world. This is a brother who not only has a mission here in the States, but he has a global mission. This brother, this man here, serves as our national minister of defense. He is the brother who is responsible for the security, of course, of our lead officer, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, but in general, the black nation. He is that man who, if our comrade and Minister Huey P. Newton were here today, he is that man who the comrade and that general, Huey P. Newton, would be guiding and taking under his wing because he serves in that same capacity and in that same post as Minister of Defense. I want you all to help me to bring to Black Power Radio, our brother and comrade and warrior and soldier, right along with Sister Ayera, our big brother, Brother DK. Black Power, sir.
Black Power family.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Man, it's love, it's peace, it's hot in Texas, but it's hotter in the hells of America. So I can deal with it, I can work, I'm going to stand on the forefront, man. I'm glad to be here with y'all today on the radio, and I'm glad to be out in the cages that the enemy had me chained in. I'm ready to get out here and get on the forefront with the people. You know, I'm not one of them backdoor leaders. I'm going to get out here with the people, just like I see my brother doing daily, man. Brother Malik, always on the forefront with the people. You know, Brother Khaled, you can catch him out there with the people when he was here. So that's just how I'm ready to work, bro, just like we do. We roll with the people for the people. So that's what it's about.
You already know it, and we definitely glad to have you black and have you at the forefront and glad that you are willing to roll with the people. Brother DK, kind of tell us a little bit about how you got started in this movement. I know that you've been around for a long time, but, you know, in this work, a long time really isn't long enough. And so tell us how you got started and how you began, and then we'll build up around who you are.
Okay, well, I learned of the new Black Panther Party by some brothers who was informative in the community. Honestly, man, I came to get some expertise on purchasing the right weapon for the right reason. I was working at a job, got robbed. I wanted to defend myself the proper way. I was in the streets, man. I'm an ex-blood. You know, I come from the streets. I'm not going to say X. I just decided to X out the negativity, and I started to stand strong and educate my people instead of destroy us. And brothers took me to, I thought I was going to a shop or something, man. They took me to a pastor meet. And I rolled up in there, and the brothers was talking on COINTELPRO. And they was giving a meeting on counterintelligence, and everything stood out to me. It was new language, but everything that they were talking about, the things I was seeing in dealing with brothers in the trap and things like that. You know, brother snitches, the implanted snitches and the implanted the defects. You know, I was seeing this in the streets already and never knew that this affected our people because I wasn't intact with my own history at that time. Well, I came back the next week because I liked the way the brothers were talking. I liked the way they were speaking in the meeting. And I enjoyed what I heard then also. I met the founder, Aaron Michaels. I met other brothers in the struggle, Brother Psycho Christ, David Foreman. I met these brothers. And these brothers took me to a gun show. And I had come from the streets where if you want to get something done, somebody just put a gun in your hand. Well, these brothers put the knowledge in my head first and then took me to a gun show and showed me the proper protocol behind how to use this weapon and what I need to use it for, and I changed my mind on why I wanted to buy it. Not only did I want to defend myself, I said if I purchased the weapon, it would be to defend my family, but I'll be willing to stand in the ranks with these brothers with that weapon and defend my people. And shortly after, I went on a couple of missions, a couple of different maneuvers with the brothers, and, man, I like what we've done in the community, man. I like the respect that the people had for the brothers, you know, in uniform and out of uniform. I seen them feeding the kids in Dallas. I seen them supporting, coaching football, you know, with the kids in Dallas. I seen them brothers actually getting involved with the children, with the youth, and I like that. And Shaka Sankofa was up for execution, and that's when I took my stance and said I'll never leave this party. Shaka Sankofa, Gary Graham, for those who don't know, a.k.a. Shaka Sankofa, was in the Huntsville prison set for execution, and we went down for a rally and protest that day. I seen the masses of people in abundance. I seen pigs from everywhere. I seen more cops than I probably ever seen in my life. And they was, you know, they had rifles and snipers on roofs and everything out. And all this stuff was out, man. And to them, it was protection and security. But to me, I felt like I might not have not went home that night if anything would have went wrong. And the stance taken that day was, you know, we're going to leave, we're going to come together, we're going to leave together, or we're going to die together. And I came back home with my brothers. And after that day, man, Shaka Sankofa, he was executed and he died. And I said, they killed the innocent man who was not guilty of the murder that they say he committed. And they executed him anyway. And it was, you know, evidence to prove his innocence and everything. And I was like, it really just showed me how corrupt our system was. Being I just left the system doing 3 years at that time. You know, I said, man, if this brother here, he just died innocent, man, I'm willing to stand for something, man. You know, and I've been around. I've been fighting injustice ever since, man. I've been around and I ain't going nowhere. I took some breaks and I've been chained up and I've been caged, but I'm back. You know, and throughout the years, I've grown. I used to be a soldier. I was one of the soldiers who said, I don't want to read about this and read about that. But the more I got intact with myself, I got intact with my history and I got intact with the people. And I've learned a lot from the different elders that have been in the organization. I had an opportunity to soldier with Collie when Collie came down, and I love Collie's spirit. And shortly afterwards, you know, our brother passed over. But Doc was a rider. I'm going to classify Doc as a rider. He was a rider. He was intellectual. He was smart. But this man was he was just an extreme soldier. You know, he had no sign of weakness. You know, bald head. Brother was in the uniform looking sleek as sleek can be, you know, and it just, I wanted to be that at that time. That was my example. The other brothers, no knock to them in the area, they was good, but I wanted to be like Doc. Doc talked good, and he looked like a warrior. And I wanted to be that man, and after Doc passed, I began to study Doc. And as I begin to study, Doc, I begin to learn more about brothers like Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz. He was an intellectual. But as I had an opportunity to meet Zulu, I realized that Zulu was a warrior too, you know, and learned that he was a law student, a lawyer, and on top of that, a father. I said, man, this is me. I can be where he is one day. And the brother told me once before there was no room for advancement in this organization and tried to get me to leave. And I think I pulled him wrong because I came in a soldier, and now I'm here, 12 years later, working with these people, working with our people, for the people. And like I say, man, I'm here to ride with the people. That's what we stand for, man. Brothers like Malik, Hashim, Doc, even Brother Aaron, when he came aboard, they molded me into who I am today. Brother David Foreman, they molded me into who I am today. But I have to give the great works and the efforts of my present struggle. My last 7 years, I've seen Malik Zulu Shabazz take this organization and push it to heights that I didn't think it was going to go. Because when I came in, I had a closed mind. I just saw one picture. You know, I just saw police brutality and, you know, fighting that, police brutality. But this brother done reached out to nations outside of America. This brother done pushed works here in America. Done reached out to not just the cultural nationalists, not just the black nationalists, but the streets. I see this brother on the streets. When he deal with the streets, we went to D.C. before, and we took the streets. Did a march on the Department of the U.S. Treasury. You know, it just, I've seen this brother work, and I've been in the room with him and watched how he worked, and that's how I've built over the years. I've built over the years, and I've dealt with the people and been on the front line, been in Paris, collected bone fragments and skull fragments from Brandon McLean, and we fought cases like this. In Dallas, Texas, we fought the police, the pig, and the police department to where they couldn't tase our people. No, they couldn't choke our people no more. Now they picked up a deadly taser. But we've been on those front lines where we didn't know if we was coming home and we'll ever get an opportunity to kiss our babies again. But we did, and we're growing, and we continue to work, and we're continuing the struggle. And that's just, you know, that's how I came in and how I leave. I plan on leaving differently. You know, somebody passed it on to me. I'm looking for younger brothers to come in that I can pass this thing on to, because that's what it's about, developing and leaving that trademark.
Yes, sir, brother. Now, and there's another generation that's coming up now that doesn't know many of the figures that you named, or that are not connected to many of the struggles that you fought, or that we have fought or fighting. So could you give some instruction to the young generation, the young G's, the young sisters coming up, and what their role is in this present day society?
Man. First thing you're going to have to do coming in is you have to get proper knowledge of self. You got to be willing to destroy the old man. The old man is the negativity. When I say negativity, I mean sometimes we got to put the guns and the ball bats down and really look at ourselves as black men, young black men, fathers, sons. We got to respect our mothers. You know, we got to show more respect to the sisters, the queens, the mothers of civilization. We got to show more respect to them also. And now the younger generation I see coming in, man, they blind. Some of them are blind out in the streets, man. They baptized by what they see on BET, you know. And they, when they see brothers like us, we like God. We stand out like God to them because we doing something they dream of doing, but they don't have the balls to do it yet. I say yet because one day I was like that. I wasn't gonna put no uniform on and get out in the streets and ride with the people, punk politics. No, I wasn't gonna do that. I was 5'9", I was a blood, and I meant that. And these brothers showed me that, you know, after I learned my even knowledge on the gangs, I realized, hey, Panther Party, I see the Panther Party in the gangs, or do I see the gangs in the Panther Party? You know, I had to look at it and say, man, these brothers used to stand for something, now they ain't standing for nothing. The Panther Party's out here doing it. My direction for the youth would be to come in, man. Come in with your mind open to learn. Don't come in quick to want to throw a uniform on because you want to look like. Come in and open that book up and get into the mind. Get with some brothers and learn history, his story and her story, her story. Learn what happened to your people. Learn what's going on with your people today. Learn where you stand and where you lie today and find yourself in the present day's condition. Find yourself and say, where can I find room to change? How can I change and how can I grow and how can I help somebody else do the same thing? Sisters like Ayara, you know, the sister come in and she done rolled this region. She come in and she rolled the South. She's been my sister since I met her. We think alike. She's a soldier. She's not just a political speaker. She's a soldier. You got to get sisters out here who are direct leaders, and some of the men are going to have to take instruction from these sisters. And the men going to have to fall in place, and we're going to have to defend these sisters, our babies, and so on. If not, these sisters going to end up defending some of you brothers. So, you know, we got to step up as men. Young men coming in got to mature to be better men, and they're going to be older men. And then they got to train their pack, their kids, their youth. They got to train their pack. You know, and the more we do, we got to pass this thing on. We just can't hold on to this knowledge and be so selfish that we want to keep it. We can't hold on to this struggle. We got to pass this struggle back, pass the knowledge down, and pass on this training back down. Pass it back down to somebody who can use it, because we getting older. I'm getting older. I don't plan on staying where I'm at forever. I have to grow. I have to continue to move forward. I need younger brothers in the ranks to fall behind us, somebody we can teach, some people we can train. So basically I'm recruiting right now. We need that. You know, we need a younger brother, and that's what the devil is scared of. That's what the enemy fears, is when we get out there and we recruit our people, we train them, and we're taking them out of negativity, and we transforming them into, hey, man, this is a warrior, this is a soldier, this is a king. You know, he ain't calling himself a little loco, a.k.a. Uzi Clip. You know, he got a whole new name. Brother done changed his name and his whole mentality, you know. And the enemy fears that because it's growth. When we get to dealing with the babies, and babies remember who dealing with them. They fear that. That's growth. So, you know, as far as the people who you can look at today is the people who you see doing the work. Brother King Samir, I'm going to give him a shout-out. Malik Zulu Shabazz, get a shout-out. Sean, you on this radio 24/7. You doing work in your community 24/7. You know, and it's to that point to where y'all the leaders. Y'all the leaders. That's who y'all see. Just like I came in and I saw other brothers working, Aaron, Khaled. People see y'all. They see us. Sister Mira, they see everybody that's working. And we got to continue that. As long as we're working in our communities and we're bringing people in, we got to work and bring people in. Grab hold of some of the people and pull them in. Show them what we're doing. Train your replacement. When you train your replacement, you can grow and develop and, boom, push to another level. And that's the direction people need to come in with, the mind to learn. Come in with a mind to learn, because if you sit down and you're willing to learn, then guess what? The action is all around us. It's going to be there. Action going to be there. But if you come in and you learn it, then you're going to learn those general orders. You're going to learn them non-local objectives. You're going to apply them to your life. You know what I mean? You're going to learn that platform. You're going to apply it to your life. And you're going to apply it to your community. And, hey, you're going to start seeing growth development. You're going to see a new breed of people. Because it's going to be a time where the new Black Panther Party is going to attract more than soldiers, and they already have. It's already been proven. We're attracting more than soldiers. We got leaders. We got lawyers. We know we need doctors. We need our own schools and hospitals. But we got to get the minds, win the minds of these people. So we have to work in different areas, and that work is being done on the forefront right now. And the youth need to see that, because it's going to be a time where they ain't going to run down to the white hospital in the community to get some help. They're going to come to the brothers that they know can stitch them up, because they got the trust, you know, in this brother. And that's the direction I want to see us push, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well said. Well said. Now, talk to us, my brother. Now, you like I mentioned Comrade Minister Huey P. Newton. You like the comrade were behind enemy lines incarcerated. Can you talk to us about the penitentiary system, the prison industrial complex, and what you see in that?
Man, it's funny. It's funny that today is the anniversary of our brother. And while I was on the ends, I remember before even going, when I first joined the party, I probably was in the party for maybe about a couple of weeks. We was watching some documentaries and some movies, and Huey P. Newton was doing this interview, smoking this cool cigarette, doing this interview, and he was talking some cash, money, revolutionary talk, man. I was feeling the brother. I never knew I would identify to him the way I am today. I was feeling the brother. I was like, ooh, that boy there could talk, you know. I was feeling him. And he was behind enemy lines. I had an opportunity while I was behind enemy lines to get access to the show once or a couple of times. I felt like he was Pete Newton, man, sitting up in that jail, talking to the people from the inside, but dealing with the people on the inside of the jail, and they was filling my mind. They was respecting my mind, so I can imagine what that brother was going through then, But in Texas, I'm going to speak on Texas, where they don't like knowledge on the inside. They hate knowledge on the inside. They feel like you the troublemaker. When you start getting people to calm down, they want to see them in there fighting and doing all that because they can send them in lockup and they can do this. But when you start getting a unit to chill, when I roll on a unit and the unit start to chill and people are chilling, I roll up in the county and these brothers come in. I'm an ex-blood, so I'm about making progress. You know, I classify myself and I carry this three-letter torch, and that's BMP, about making progress. I tell these brothers, if y'all say y'all bloods coming up in here, man, y'all say y'all bloods, y'all gonna have to get around me. We gotta change the way we think, man. It's gonna be bigger than commissary and spread now, man. We finna chill. You got kids out there, we finna get back out there and our kids. Y'all hook up with me when y'all get out here, and I'm gonna show you what I got going on out in the world. That's how I talk to the brothers when they come in. These brothers start chilling, man. I'm starting to drop books in their hand. You know, drop books on their hand. They ain't reading no fucking them little fiction novels they come around the court with. I'm dropping books in their hand, getting brothers on something real, you know, some message to the black man, different books, and getting people just to change their mind, just to sit down and chill. And these brothers start loving me on the inside, and it wasn't just me, man. It's the spirit that I carry from doing the work. It changes who you are. Once you start doing the work, it changes who you are. And these brothers, man, they start doing it. And everywhere I rode the same way. I find love when I do that. But the guards on the inside hate it. Not just the white ones, the black ones. The guards, period. They train to bust that up. They don't like that. They want to bust that up and break that up. Man, the conditions our people in there are sick. They want to shove swine down your throat. You know, shove swine down your throat. Then they'll say, well, we don't serve pork. And a lot of these brothers and tell them it ain't pork. You know, and these glycerin-based foods, man, it's just BS. You know what I mean? Some brothers don't know, man. You perish for lack of knowledge. It's the truth. These brothers don't know no better, so they don't do no better. And they continue living the way they live. But once you start changing their minds on the inside, these brothers decide they want to come out stronger. They'll make them different and better decisions about going backwards. But I rolled into a unit here in Wilmer, and it's called the Phoenix House. I rolled into this unit, and these people, they was in here for rehabilitation and behavioral modification is what the facility was supposed to be. And I told them, I don't have a drug problem. I have a behavior problem. My behavior problem is I won't behave the way you want me to behave, and I was considered rebellious. They told me I was sick. They told me I was sick, but I had brothers around me that thought the same way, and all, 13 of them brothers that was around me, every last one of them is on their way out. Right now, four of them are out now. The rest of them are coming behind us. They're on their way out. They're progressing through that program, and I write them. I've written them since I've been out. I stayed in contact with them. When I went back to the county, I stayed in contact with them. And these brothers, they want to join the party. That's the kind of growth I'm talking about. They want to join because they want to know why my mind is the way it is, why I think, why I'm not scared to challenge these people in their system. They want that type of strength. And I'm here to develop them with the help of my family, which is the MBPP. We got to develop brothers like that, and that's just in Texas. But this is just a small. We got to get a prison ministry, some type of prison ministry or a street ministry, even if it's just off in the county jail. We have to keep that in place because them brothers on the inside need us when they come out. Because if you don't, we turn them back over to the streets, and the streets is what's going to kill them. You know, we turn them back over to the streets, and that's going to kill them. That's going to crush them. The white man sitting out there ready to bash the head in. These brothers need our, and they soldiers. A lot of them ain't just broke. Some of these brothers got business minds. They prepared to think, but they think the way the white man want to think, but we got to teach them how to think like Africans. And that's just where I'm at with that. You know, we got to teach them to think like Africans. Somebody was bold enough to help me, so I got to help these brothers. And I think Huey P. Newton had that type of mentality when he was in the struggle out there. He was on the streets, man. And he wasn't a dumb brother, he was an educated brother. You know, and he was street bound. And even up until his death, he was street bound. He dealt with the streets firsthand. And that's just how I am. That's the approach I take on the revolutionary struggle at this point. You know, just like Huey. I just remember that brother in that interview with that cool cigarette in his mouth doing that real fire interview. And that caught my attraction, and here I am today. I'm continuing his work, and that's what it's about, Brother Sean.
Yes, sir. That interview, they labeled that Prelude to Revolution. I remember that, the Prelude to Revolution.
You're right.
He was sitting there cool and getting it in. Dear brother, talk to us. Now, you're a defense minister. We're so happy to talk to you. We just want to kind of pick your brain a little bit. Talk to us about the importance of defense in this hour.
Man, right now, if you're not prepared, you better get prepared because our current day condition, man, we at war across the nation. And it's not just tanks and bombs and, you know, crap like this going off. I mean, we at war. They're not just attacking Brother Gaddafi over in Libya. You know, that's our brother. You know, we in support of Brother Gaddafi, but it's going on right here in the neighborhood. You know, it's going on right here in the mental state of our people. You know, and it's bigger than going to get a gun and learning how to shoot a gun to defend yourself. You have to be mentally prepared to defend yourself and your children and your people, meaning your thinking can change the way you react to a situation. We have to be prepared. We cannot be reactionary. We got to be proactive when it comes to the defensive structure and the defensive building of our people and this black nation. With that being said, we need to be, our health needs to be intact. We're going to have to eat better so we can live better and live longer. We're going to have to put down some of this stuff that's killing us, the beers and the four locos and, you know, the alcohol and in abundance. All of this stuff, you know, we're going to eventually have to get away from, and we're going to have to train people. We're going to have to really train ourselves on how to survive, and not just survive, but how to live, because we're going to outlive our enemy. We're going to do that. I'm going to speak that into this. It's already being proven. We're going to outlive our enemy, but we'll kill ourselves in the process of trying to get there if we don't change and we don't get prepared right now. On the military end, we got to be smart. We got to stop catching unnecessary cases, unlawful carrying of weapons, and get these licenses and do the things we need to do, you know, so that we can create our own jobs and our own businesses. We have to make this work our life. We have to make our preparation a part of our survival and our life. So we're going to have to do this on a day-to-day basis, drilling our people, you know, getting in the community. They have to see us in military outfit, and they have to want to become that. And us, as the new Black Panther Party, have to be at willing to train the people that we are. We have to be willing to bring the people in the right way, train them so that they won't run to the enemy for help when it's time, and the time is now. I remember hearing Khaled say one time, the time is now, and this is the hour. God damn it, Black Power. You know, and that's real. That's where we at. We're in a state of war right now, man. You know, I see brothers come in in the jail when I was locked up, man. They come in and the cops have banged them up on the way to jail, handcuffs, trying to put them in the handcuffs. They banged them up. What gives you the need not to defend yourself against this man when he's supposed to just cuff you and take you in, but he beat your ass, then cuff you and take you in? Nah, it's time to fight back. Being real, man, it's time to fight back. We got to be willing. Our people need to be so prepared and so trained that when that devil roll up on us and we done did something, well, we got to go to jail because sometimes we're going to go, they be scared to put their hands on us because they know that the time is going to come when we will defend ourselves. And people are doing it. People are doing it, but our people ain't seeing it right now as much as they should because the media has been, you know, we've been bombarded with the other BS along the media lines. But, man, we got to get out here and train our people, man. Defend yourself. Get into some martial arts class. Some martial arts training, boxing, learn how to use a stick, a rock, whatever you got to do. Our people have to be prepared to defend themselves. These mothers are going to have to protect these babies because there's some fatherless homes out there. That don't mean that the mothers can't defend those kids. These kids are going to have to learn to defend themselves and their friends and each other and possibly defend the mothers because some of the mothers are, like I say, some fatherless homes out there, and we got to step in and fill the gap. Where there's no fathers in some of these homes, guess what? Big brother need to be right there to fill that gap. You know, we need to be there to fill those gaps and put them children under our wing. You know, bring that family into the ranks of the organization and let her know that she got a family. Just because it's not a man, man, their father broke down, he was weak or whatever happened, to the reason that he's not there, that, you know, hey, it ain't got to happen like that. You know, we're going to have to be proactive in our thinking on how we're going to deal with our people and get them trained too. We just can't wait for them to join us. Sometimes we got to jump out there, reach out and grab them. And that's just, you know, that's where I stand with that. Now, on the, some of the stuff I can't really just, I wouldn't dare talk about on this radio because, you know, the enemy be looking for a reason every time, and we ain't going to give them no reason to do nothing. But this our season. I'm going to let the people know now it's time to grow. I mean, it sounds good. It sounds like good talk, but it really is. It's good talk, and it's great work being done. And I've been gone so long, man, I'm kind of hyped, you know, on this thing because it's what I want to get out here and do. Before I left, I was in preparation. I had got myself into some bettering my health and a little bit more training and things like that, and I see the need for it. I've been in on the inside. You know, everybody work out and take care of themselves and that, but I'm a young bull now. I look at myself in the mirror, and I'm a bull. I look good to be my age, and I want to pass it on. It's time to get out there and help train our people, whether it be with the weapons, the hand-to-hand, the way you think, the way you eat, everything has to change. And that's what we got to get on. That's what we got.
Yes, sir, Brother K, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, make sure we didn't lose you. Okay, family, we got a quick caller. Can we take a call and see what they got to say? They might have to ask you a question here. 973-280, you're on the air with our National Minister of Defense. Your question, please.
Oh, I don't have a question. I have a comment for the brother, Black Power.
Black Power, who are we talking to?
Oh, my name is Latifa. I'm from New Jersey.
All right, go right ahead, sis.
I wanted to comment on the brother saying that, you know, we should go back into the streets and, you know, help the brothers lock down in the prison system. I fully agree with that. As a young lady with a couple family members in the system, one of which is coming home in less than 2 months, you know, I realize how hard it's going to be for the brother when he comes back out. He's been locked down for 5 years. You know, the man makes it real hard for these brothers to come out and live life, be productive citizens, and most importantly, be fathers to their children. We as the people, we really need to not only take care of our people, but like the brother said, enlighten and educate our people. Because when they come out, the first thing they run back to, they do run back to the streets, but they don't take care of our streets. They don't take care of our people. They sell poison to our people. They kill our people. And when we can educate them and show them the way of how to take care of themselves and their family, then we will be doing better as a people. We should open black-owned businesses in our community. And no matter how it may sound, keep the enemy out. If we need to open up black banks, open them up so we don't have to go to the pale face for nothing at all. No, I'm not against the streets, and I'm also glad the brother spoke it into existence that our race is going to outlive them, because right now, where I live in my neck of the woods, we are extincting each other by the dozen every day, and we all need to be empowered. And I respect you for everything you said. Thank you very much.
So it just sounds like you got the focus on your end, and the solution is right there in your voice. And you have to start, and you can start right now by doing your part. You said you got family members coming out, point them in the direction of the new Black Panther Party, man. And 973, I think that's like Jersey or something, right?
Yes, sir. I'm in East Orange, New Jersey. The way I'm enlightening my people, my five-year-old, when she sees an American flag, we taught her to say, Black Power, do not get sucked into the hype. Please pull the red, white, blue hype out of her head. She knows who Malcolm X is, Martin Luther King is. What I'm doing for my people right now, I'm going back to school. I'm going to open up a funeral home, and I will start with my people, my family, the people who look just like me. You don't have to involve nobody. You be a pallbearer, you clean up, you drive a hearse, you do whatever you have to do. I want to keep my people employed. My significant other wants to open up a soul food restaurant. You know, subsequently, my uncle is a chef. A friend of hers is opening up a bakery. people who look like us need work. You know, we don't have trust funds and everything else, but we sure can have them. And in the coming years, if we take care of our own and stop putting down our own, stop killing our own, it is possible. We didn't get this way overnight. It's not going to be fixed overnight, but we can sure as hell get the crackers a run for their money because we got the power and the intelligence to do it. Just got to keep the hate amongst each other.
Right, right, right. Well, sister, you also, I want you to let that baby know that she got another big brother out there named Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is taking this nation, this organization by a major, I don't know how to put it, man. He's taking it by storm, and that's who's on the forefront for the people in the head of this military right now. And when they see that flag, they need to remember that red, black, and green, but you're doing the right thing because you're praying the babies, and that's what's going to push us forward, sister.
Black power.
All right, black power. And, sister, we thank you so much for your comment, and we thank you so much for your spirit, and we look forward to organizing with you in East Orange, New Jersey, as we do have comrades that's on the ground in Trenton, Irvington, Newark, and other areas. And so we want to organize with you and your family, so make sure that you keep close contact with us and stay tuned with us and keep in touch with the Day of Action movement, our new Black Panther Party, because we, you, and you, us, sister. So we're riding with you, Queen, all right?
Okay, Black Power. Thank you, bro.
All right.
Peace.
Black Power. And so, Brother DK, we got a few minutes. We got about 3 minutes until we're going to bring on our national chairman. And so, lastly, in these last 3 minutes, what would you like to say to the people?
Man, I would like to let the people know, keep their minds open, and be on the lookout for these National Day of Action that's coming up. Support the efforts and the work that the new Black Panther Party is doing with the aid to Senegal. And also, if you're looking for some support in your area, find a means to contact. I'm pretty sure you'll give out the contact information how they can contact us later. Contact the new Black Panther Party and come into the race with the mind to learn. Be looking to build, and get focused on these babies and the youth, bring the youth in line. I mean, the fathers that ain't in the homes, man, get back home to them babies. The babies need you. Get back in line with these queens. These queens are out here soldiering on their own. We need protection. The black man has to step up. The black woman has to step up. And the black youth, it's about that time for them to get out the bands and skinny jeans and put a real uniform on. It's about that time. And it's our time for growth. The time is now, and this is it, man. This is it, and I think we're at our best right now, Brother Sir. When I say we're at our best, because we're visible in the community. We're visible across the nation, and the work every day is a new plan being developed. And not only is it being developed, but the actions are being carried out, so it's not just talk. So that's why I think we are at our best, man. I just want to thank the people for loving us, and I want to thank us for working for the people. Black power, brother.
Black power, and with this last remaining minute, how can the soldiers that are listening to you join into the military, the new Black Panther Party, and be a part of the Ministry of Defense and help our community?
Right now, I don't know if it'll be proper to give my number out, but if you can give them the website, and they can hit us by website, New Black Panther Party headquarters, and you guys can get that message to me. Just so that we'll be going through the proper protocols and channels on how to get that done. What do you think is best? I mean,
yes, sir. We will, for everyone listening who wants to support the new Black Panther Party and support the efforts of our brother Minister DK, National Minister of Defense. You can email us at nbpphq@yahoo.com. Again, it's nbpphq@yahoo.com, and make it attention to DK, National Minister of Defense.
On that note, let me give you an email address, not a phone number also. And my personal email address is dkda1@yahoo.com. Again, that's dkda1@yahoo.com.
Yes, sir.
And you can send me an email, and I'll get back to you.
Yes, sir. And there it is. And Brother DK, we thank you so much for your time. We thank you so much for your efforts. We thank the God of our forefathers and foremothers that you're free and are able to do this work on behalf of our national chairman, the new Black Panther Party, and we expect much from you in the future, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And Black Power, family.
Black Power.
And that's our National Minister of Defense. And brothers and sisters, we are now right at the top of the hour. We're right at the top of the hour, and it is now that time that you have waited for and that time that we have announced to you from the beginning of the show. And for those of you who are not yet acquainted, I'm sure by now after hearing from our sister Ira and hearing from our brother DK and hearing from myself, you are familiar now with the man that I'm about to bring to our radio broadcast. He is the lead officer and the national chairman of our new Black Panther Party. He is the brainchild of the Tuba Tijani Express and co-organizer, co-coordinator of our National Days of Action. He is over a 12-year veteran in this struggle, a man who has fought a long fight, been personally mentored by the greatest amongst us, chiefly being our Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and he is a brother who is working every day and night to make sure that that mission is accomplished and that the goals of our party are met. And I would like for you all to help me to bring to Black Power Radio our national chairman of the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. This is Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black Power, sir.
All right. Black Power, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
All right. Black Power and all power to the people. Assalamu alaikum. Hotep. Free the land. And as I was taught by Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, black laws for all black people. And we give honor to God, our God of the black nation, and bear witness that regardless to land or label or language, that there is but one God. Dear brothers and sisters, we have the pleasure and opportunity to struggle because we struggle in the path that Nat Turner laid. We struggle in the path and in the memory of the struggle of Sister Harriet Tubman. We struggle today in the memory and in the path of all those that have gone before us in our line of divine. And so all of them we honor, from Africa and here in the United States of America, from Patrice Lumumba to Queen Ya Asantewa, Queen Nzinga, to Hannibal, to Kwame Nkrumah, Stephen Biko, to Minister Malcolm X, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Marcus Mosiah Garvey, and Sister Fannie Lou Hamer, Dr. King, the Black Panther Party from the 60s, all of their names ring well and warm in our minds and in our hearts. It's August the 22nd here, 2011, and what a world we have, what events we have transpiring all throughout the world. Everywhere we look, around the 196,940,000 square miles, war and revolution and intrigue and bombing, and it's certainly a world in flux, a world in change, it's a world in uproar. Here as we broadcast from the belly of the beast, right here in the United States of America. We are some of the last few ones remaining on this path in 2011. As I have been on this path now for over 22 years, since I was a college student on the campus of Howard University, and I met a bold, bald-headed black man on my campus who turned me around and turned my life around. Again, Minister and Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And also was touched in that day by Minister Louis Farrakhan. And also in my day as a college student, I was touched on my campus and my law school campus by Dr. Leonard Jeffries and I was able to work with Dr. Jeffries and Dr. Tony Martin and Imamu Amiri Baraka, Attorney Alton Maddox, Brother Steve Coakley, and many others who blazed the trail on the college campuses and blazed the trail in America. Mike McGee came to my campus. Again, the Honorable Kwame Ture of Stokely Carmichael came to my campus at Howard University. Certainly at that time, it could be righteously called the Mecca of Black education. The councilman now in Newark, our young and conscious brother, the son of Imamu Amiri Baraka, our fighting comrade in the city of Newark, Brother Raz Baraka, a key leader on my college campus with Black Near Force, actually an inspiration to me, coming behind him with the Progressive Student Movement and Unity Nation. Where are the revolutionaries in the year 2011? Where is the life and those that were out on the front lines? There were so many in the very late 80s and the early 90s who were out on the front lines in that period leading up to the Million Man March. So many organizations, so many speakers, so many struggling here and abroad. And now revolutionaries are on the run and being taken down all the time. We're right now witnessing virtually the end of the rule of Brother Muammar Gaddafi. And we just have to face facts right now. You're facing the end of the rule of Muammar Gaddafi. And though he is not a black African, he certainly has demonstrated solidarity and support for Africa and black Africa. Really, all of it's supposed to be black Africa. It has been occupied in the north by some camel breath, stanky, rusty, dusty, sand-dwelling Arabs who don't care nothing about African people. Good evening. This is Malik Zulu Shabazz. I will not be long, but I must be strong. I'm telling you this. We better buckle down quick. We better close ranks quick. We better get our minds, our hearts together quick, because the devil is on the loose all over the 57,255,000 square miles of land. There's a devil on the loose, riding on the waves of the water and flying his bomber planes on the 139,685,000 square miles of water. As the Bible teaches us, that the devil come down with great wrath, for he have but a short while. That Satan, the devil, I'm talking about America, England, and France, a coalition of demons, have come down with great wrath on Africa and African peoples, and have financed, have supplied, have backed up these pale Arabs who don't care nothing about black African people. And it's certainly a harsh time, a harsh time ahead. As we lose North Africa again, we already lost North Africa to these pale Arabs centuries ago. And one rose up amongst them, a Berber amongst them, named Muammar Gaddafi, who had friendship and believed in a United States of Africa, and at least was a sign that the racism that exists in the Arab world and the racism that exists in the world of Islam, that perhaps at least a reformer could come amongst them to try to lead them out of their barbaric mindset. But these suckers in Libya who have taken our flag, the red, black, and the green, these no-good bastards, they have taken our flag actually will deceive the world to think that the flag of black liberation represents these CIA-backed, camel-breathed, stinky, sand-dwelling, mixed-up, homogenized, hodgepodge, bastardized Arab Uncle Toms that are poised to take power in Libya. Black power and all power to the people. I need to say thank you before I get going here. I'm trying to take some questions, but I got so much on my mind tonight. The bottom line here, I want to thank Sister Ayera from West Texas and representing the New Black Panther Party, and a sister with skill and will, a bold and conscious black woman that is helping us in our aid to Africa. What are we talking about? What are we doing? We're talking about helping Africa and defending Africa. And we thank Sister Ayera for helping us help Africa as we load up on the Tuba to Johnny Lion Express and show and prove right here in this movement, the United Front, the New Black Panther Party, the Black Nationalist, the Pan-Africanist, that we can produce for Africa. We thank her for taking on, helping to spearhead this project. As the devil has but a short while, if the devil got but a short while, we ain't got but a short while to get it together. We're trying to show that we can produce and ship to Africa, and that we can build and do something for ourselves, as this devil is coming down with great wrath. And Negroes representing this devil are coming down with great wrath. I want to thank her. I want to thank Brother DK, our National Minister of Defense in the New Black Panther Party in Dallas, Texas, and Brother Drew X in Dallas, Texas, for the next president of the United States. Old Rick Perry may come up out of Texas. We've had bad experiences with presidents that come out of Texas. And so we're interested in the fight in Texas for the black man and the black woman, for the temperature has been hot, over 100 degrees most of the summer, almost every day, as Allah is coming down with his wrath, as the devil come down with his wrath. The devil comes down with his bombs from NATO and his CIA plots, and Allah comes with his drought. Almighty God come with tornadoes and earthquakes, and he just blows wind and tears down stages and crushes devils. Tell your whole, having a party, or crush your whole stage and crush you under the stage. Certainly we are in a world of change, in a world of convulsion. I want to thank from Selma, Alabama. I'm talking about the South here. Good things come out the South. I want to thank Sister Charette, Lady Freedom, from Selma, Alabama, who you will hear from this week on this radio, I believe, on Wednesday night. And Sister Charette, on Wednesday night, will tell you how the Ministry of Agriculture here in this United Front is spearheading strong activities on behalf of the black farmers. Our word will be made bond here, regardless to whom or what. And she will tell you about our national news conference at the Press Club on September the 6th and a national campaign to fight for those who have our land. That's our land in the hands of the black farmers. That's our fruit, our vegetation, our food that we should be eating. And we have to support it and protect it by any means necessary. If you ain't talking about land, you don't even need to talk nationalism. The root word in nationalism is nation. And if we're not supporting Africa, our land, and the land that we have scattered in the hills of America, then we need to take the word nationalism out of our mouths. So I want to thank Sister Charette, Lady Freedom, for fighting on the front lines, and all of the other sisters that are working up in here, Sister Amira, Sister Keisha, and other strong black women on the front lines in New York, fighting this old rapist, old accused, and hell, beyond that, rapist, old no good Dominique Strauss-Kahn. The black woman is on the front lines, and we need the black man on the front lines too. And so right now, I just don't have a long message, but I have a clear message for you tonight. I'm telling you that the devil is coming down with great wrath, and we need to band together and do something for ourselves. Now, we always heard the term something for ourselves, but we never really had the answer to what that something is. And so by the grace of God, we're giving you the answer in our program and our platform, what it is that we must do for ourselves. We're answering the question and the mathematical equation on what something is. But we must do something for ourselves. What must we do for ourselves? We must unite ourselves. We must unite ourselves. And we have to let you know that the new Black Panther Party, that Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, is about the uniting of black people, not the division of black people. I don't care what religion you are. I want to know, do you believe in self-determination for black people? I don't care what part of the continent you're from or what language that your colonial master have imposed on us or what tribe you are from. I care about whether or not you believe and are willing to stand up for self-determination and unity for black people. Right here in the hells of America, we don't care whether what organization you are from. The Panther Party, this new Black Panther Party, we don't care what organization you are from, if you're black or African, as long as your goal is the self-determination and the liberation of black people. And so we're doing, so that's something that we must do for ourselves, is we must unite ourselves. But there is no mysterious process or mysterious leadership, and there is no mystery God that will bring this movement together. And whether you think I'm crazy or not, for constantly trying to build a united front over the course of this year, as it is now late August, whether you think that I have overreached my capacity in calling for a united front of black and African peoples and ministries to move goods to Africa, ministries to support agriculture, ministries organizing these leaders, whether you think I've reached too far or not, I will not be giving up, and I will not be turning back from the vision and from the goal. I heard a black man that I admire very much tell us long ago, up you mighty nation, you can accomplish what you will. Up you mighty nation, you can accomplish what you will. And I'm feeling the spirit of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey this year and feeling it more now as we have just passed his birthday. I'm feeling the spirit of a universal black and African unity and the necessity of it as the time that the devil's wrath is on high. And you know, you could get depressed or in awe of the white man's wrath that he have come down on our brother Gaddafi. And I do feel bad for my brother Gaddafi, but there are so many lessons to be learned in the story of the overthrow of Gaddafi. And one of the first lessons that we got to learn is this devil, this white man, have been doing this kind of devilishment for a long time. You're no better than Marcus Garvey, who arose up in the 1920s. And Marcus Garvey saw after the Berlin Conference of 1885, and these demons in Europe decided they were going to carve up Africa for their pleasure and their bounty, and they invaded Africa after having brought hundreds of millions of slaves out of Africa. Then they go back and invade Africa and take the minerals out of Africa and slaughter and kill the black man on his own land in Africa. Did not Marcus Garvey have to deal with that reality of the European white man, the French and the English, with their artillery guns and their boom boom sticks? Are you no better than your fathers who faced what you face, and worse, in the 1920s, outright blatant discrimination, blatant racism? And right in his face, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey had to live in a time when black people were outright lynched from the trees. Strange fruit with blood dripping from the root. Take note, black man and black woman of America, and for Africa who are listening to this broadcast, you're not going to get away with seeing the tyranny of this imperialist, the tyranny of this colonialist. You will not get away with seeing any less than your fathers. The white man was here with this problem before we got here, and unfortunately, this cracker will be here after. But the question is how much further he'll be down and how much further he'll be up. We will be up. Pardon me, how much further we will be up and he will be down. At the point in time when this is turned over to our babies, and we have to ensure that this struggle for justice and for righteousness, for balance, for reciprocity, for order, for unity, for self-determination, for a nation of our own, we have to ensure that this struggle continues, survives, and it is in better shape, even if we have to give our lives. That's the second lesson you got to learn. The first lesson that we have to learn is we are not going to get any ease from this blue-eyed beast. Anywhere on the planet or here or abroad, everything that they pulled on Gaddafi, they pulled it on the black liberation movement in America. Every trick that they just got through playing on Gaddafi, they played the trick on Martin Luther King. They played it on Malcolm X. They played it on the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. They played it on the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They played it on Noble Drew Ali. They played it on Clarence 13X. They played it on the Huey P. Newton. They played it on Eldridge Cleaver. They played it on the Black Liberation Army. Can't nobody tell us about this beast. We know this devil. If anybody can tell us about this enemy, we can give Gaddafi a tutorial. I'm talking about us in America and our mothers and foremothers and great-grandmothers. Oh, he can talk about the colonizer. He can talk about the imperialist. But nobody knows the white man like us. We have been amongst this beast in the wilderness of America, living amongst him like sheep amongst wolves, living in the mouth of this beast for the past 440 some odd years, ever since we arrived in 1555 in Jamestown, Virginia. I'm hoping to take questions, but what I got to do is I'll be working. Bear with me for a second. I just don't have a lot of... I need to preach more so I can fire y'all up and inspire you and wake you up to why you need to help us send clothes to Africa. Why you need to support a program of Pan-Africanism. Why you need to trust me and trust us when we tell you that we're establishing a base in Africa. And you need to follow this program of action with us and stay with these days of action and listen to what we're saying, because you ain't got nobody else like us but us anywhere in America. Who you got left out there other than Louis Farrakhan with a mass following? Huh? Who you got left out there? Black nationalist? Pan-Africanist? We should be fleeing to each other like magnets. I'm talking to the National Black United Front. I'm talking to the Uhuru Movement. I'm talking to everybody that claimed the RBG right now. I'm talking to the RBG squad. I'm talking to you who believe in this, who you got. And some of you want to give me a hard time, and goddammit, in many instances, I'm all you got. With a national presence, a national track record, a national and international ability to command respect amongst the few that's left here, as the enemy is picking off revolutionaries one by one. He's taking Gaddafi down. Who he going to take down next? They want Mugabe next. They want to take him down next. They want Ahmadinejad next. They want Chavez next. And they want every voice of influence in America silenced. And some of you got your jaws tight with me, and I'm giving my life for you. Giving more than this life. I must have 9 lives. I'm trying to assemble here some of the toughest, most skilled and qualified brothers and sisters that believe in liberation, that believe in liberation, that are not afraid and scared, and that can make progress for our people. And to understand, when you are a people that are trying to basically stand up on your feet like a baby and trying to take baby steps, that you have to have skilled and wise guidance in order to make it out of the clutches of the most powerful enemy that man and mankind has ever known. You want to ask me why I moved the way I moved when the United States Justice Department tried to put a lawsuit on the new Black Panther Party, and when the Republicans came down with great wrath on the new Black Panther Party, on Malik Zulu Shabazz and King Samir Shabazz? You want to know why I do what I do and why I say what I say? Because I understand warfare, sucker. I understand warfare. And I understand that this is a powerful and ruthless enemy, and that we have to have wise and skilled guidance to maneuver our way out of the clutches of a devil, and to try to move our way towards liberation, and still are not guaranteed that we will make it to the other side alive. I cannot give you a warranty that you will make it out of this alive. Even if you pump for this white man and put on a dress and a skirt, you're not going to make it out of this alive. I cannot issue you a warranty. Even if your politics are gay, even if your politics go on both sides, were you trying to be on both sides, the black side and the white side, the capitalist side and the victimized side, even you who are trying to cut a deal in this day and hour, I cannot guarantee you will survive. But I can guarantee you, like Minister Malcolm X said, I don't believe that I'm a divine man, but I believe in divine guidance. And so if you want to know, before we even talk about what we want you to do or what we're asking you to do in this critical and crucial hour of war, intrigue, sabotage, and setup, you must understand what we believe in here, what I believe in here, and where the playbook is coming from, where the foundation is. This is black nationalism. This is Pan-Africanism. And anything we say we're doing or asking you to do, Go to the playbook of Marcus Mosiah Garvey. Go to the playbook of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Go to the playbook of Minister Malcolm X. Go to the playbook of Jamil Alameen. Go to the playbook of Louis X, later Louis Farrakhan. Go to the playbook of Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael. Go to the playbook of the early Black Panther Party right there in 1966, early on Black Nationalist Black Panther Party. Go to the playbook of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. Then check what I'm asking you to do. Check your references. And stop having so much doubt and let's move out. We got a plan here. We're blessed. We have a coalition here. We're blessed. We have a Panther Party with some of the strongest leaders. And we're looking to unite with the leaders of other organizations and other leaders and other brothers and sisters with skill and will that we can raise up this movement and raise up a nation. Now, look, I may have to go in a minute. I'm hoping Sean is back. I'm hoping he'll be back to relieve me so I can take some questions, but I have to move from where I am to another vehicle. What you brothers and sisters need to understand about me is I'm working all the time for our people. I'm in my law office right now, and I'm firing back at these devils right here with the paper, with the motion for motion and letter for letter, evidence for evidence. But I'm also 24 hours a day moving the struggle. I'm also 24 hours a day trying to figure out how we're going to get these goods here into New York and ship them on the third day of action. I need y'all to step up and get busy for this day of action. I shouldn't even have to, and we shouldn't even have to ask you what you're doing. You should be grinding your teeth, chomping at the bit to get at the problems that are facing our people. You should be saying, where's the master flyer? I'm ready to go. We can't just have events and go to sleep between events. Where are the full-time revolutionaries? Where are the people that live, sleep, eat, and breathe this 24-7, even if they're working a job for the white man? All they're thinking about is a liberation struggle and giving the devil whatever he got to give them. Where are those kind of people? Where are the fanatics? Where are the zealots? Where are the people that are not going to capitulate to the evil that is enveloping the world? Everybody's punking out and bowing down and bending over to give evil an opening. I should say not. If you're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, you should be anxious to organize and to tell Michael Nutter that he's nuts. Do you hear me? You should seek my counsel and advice if you're in Philadelphia, and I would help you to tell Michael Nutter that he is nuts. And he got half-truths, like the half-original man, Columbus. Some truth, but a truth that's mixed, diluted, and tampered with and designed to please white folks. We should show Michael Nutter how we can help and save black youth. Huh? You don't want to get me talking about Philadelphia, but I'm telling you this, you should be chomping at the bit to organize in Philadelphia in that climate, that revolutionary climate where they are flash mobbing and they ain't flash mobbing on us. You never know what spirit is in the mind of them youth that we need to go after and raise up an army. You should be chomping at the bit in New York City. New York City just struggle everywhere to be fought. Dead to be raised everywhere. Rapists getting off the hook and being let scot-free after raping African women. Right there in New York City. White gentrifiers eating up Harlem like a Pac-Man. You can't just demonstrate on this Zionist jeweler one day. You have to stay on him. You should wake up every day looking for a fight. You want to lay back and wait. That's like going on a job and your supervisor have to keep telling you what to do. You should be so cold-blooded on your job, he have to stop you from doing somebody else's job. You never go on a job and wait till somebody asks you and tell you what to do. You should know what to do. Should already be organizing united fronts in the city. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. I'm looking for a fight, a righteous fight. If you're in anywhere in the country, I can't stay on too much longer. If you're in Texas, black people need help. They need knowledge. They need organizing. They need relief from white folks in Texas. In the whole southern region, in Oklahoma, in Louisiana, in Arkansas, black people need relief. In the southeast region, Brother McHale, Brother Lenny, in Atlanta, Georgia, in Jacksonville, down there in Miami where they just bust on you 100 times, in Cosmopolitan Miami, they just assassination squads. Assassination squads in Tampa. Old, won't you unite? Won't you hearken unto what I'm telling you? Will you please, I'm begging you, join the United Front. Join the New Black Panther Party. Join the Day of Action. Hell, join the Nation of Islam. Join something. Don't be no damn spectator and no blogger. I can't talk too much longer. Hope, Sean, are you back? Sean, you got to relieve me. He's coming back in a minute, and I got to make another appointment. See, I'm working. I got to get off of here, and I got to get into another meeting and get there and make sure all of this run right. Everything run right. Anyway, I'll hang in here for a few more minutes. But I can't take any questions anyway. I don't control the board. But what I'm telling you, dear brothers and sisters, right now, is on October the 1st, we need to make another stand. You got to keep standing with this problem. You can't stand no one time, no two times. Does the white man quit in one or two times? He don't care whether he lose Vietnam, he going to come back and hit Panama. He don't care whether he lose Korea, he going to come back and attack Afghanistan. He don't care if he even lose Afghanistan, he going to attack Libya. He going to keep doing it. The devil never sleeps. He operates 24/7. Brother Divine, white supremacy and white racism operates 24/7. And so October 1st, we need an awesome stand, a strong stand. We need to stand up like a mighty army together and declare that we got life here and that we can produce. And so on October 1st, one of the things that I'm going to do and put my word to be made bond, and regardless to whom or what, I'm going to complete this assignment and will stake my credibility on the line behind this assignment. We're going to help Africa and establish some Pan-Africanism and make a way for us to get the hell out of here when the wrath of this devil gets much more furious and it's destined to be. We are going to ship to Africa to help our brothers and sisters in Senegal this time. But the point is to help Africa. It's Senegal today, but we understand, brother and sister, from the Ivory Coast that you're suffering. We understand and look at the tragedy in Somalia before our very eyes. And all of my brothers and sisters who are on the line, who are continental Africans or born on the continent, and we being diaspora Africans, living in the diaspora, I must let you know that the whole continent is on my mind and our mind. And we're not caught up into some lines on the map that the enemy has made and some languages and some divisions that the enemy has made. When we help one part of Africa, we mean to help all of Africa. Africa for Africans at home and abroad. And so on October 1st, we need everybody. If you got clothes, if you got shoes, if you got supplies, you need to email us at nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. National Day of Action at Yahoo.com and tell us what you got. You got some donations? I need the donations. We got to ship containers, get trucks, and move this thing. And any of you think that this thing won't move, I'm here to show you that Elijah and Garvey are not liars. And don't tell me you love Elijah and Garvey and you can't ship a Twinkie outside the United States of America. I'm going to show you that what those men did yesterday, you can see it before your very eyes today. But I need your support. I'm going to say we, but let me make it personal. I need your support. We need the supplies. We need the money. We need the spirit and the enthusiasm to believe in what we're doing. Have faith. I've given you more than the size of a grain of a mustard seed to know that this is one of your last hopes. As revolutionaries are falling or passing away or our elders are dying and ain't no revolutionaries coming out of the college campus. Help me with the Tuba Tijani Express. Help us and all of those greats that are working with us. The Senegalese are working with us. The great rapper and musician Akon is working with us. Sister Ayara is helping field everybody and bring us all in around the country who are working with us. Imam Akbar, Imama Sabir is helping us. We have Kimor Arim Shabazz in Senegal working with the Murid, the Lion, and the Tijani, all of them on the ground as we build a real program of Pan-Africanism and ties to Africa and work towards making Pan-Africanism a reality. I need your support. I need you to stand up and say that this fall I'm moving out. You should be right now. While these kids are moving out to school, revolutionaries should be saying, I'm going to make my mark this fall. I'm going to be strong this fall. I'm going to have an awesome fall season. Look, oh, so much, brothers and sisters. I need y'all to help me get on these college campuses. I need you to email me at ShabazzLawOffice@yahoo.com. ShabazzLawOffice@yahoo.com. All of you sisters that got talent, that y'all know how to reach people and inbox them and find them online and communicate with people and talk with these college students. If you want me to fire up these college students the way I did when I was in college and get them to be the way I was as a student warrior at Howard University and the way Brother Raz Baraka was, a student revolutionary at Howard University, if you want more of that, I need you to email me at ShabazzLawOffice@yahoo.com and join the college team so we can try to get to these young people with a revolutionary agenda before they get to them with these other whack agendas. That damn military recruiting agendas, punctified civil rights agendas, and damn near gay agendas. All I need is your help and belief, and we can do this on the college campus. I need you right now to stand up and email and call us and text us at 502-299-8530. I need you to stand up and say, on October the 1st, I'm moving on the enemy. I'm moving on the exploiters in my community. I'm moving on the problems in my community. I'm ready to organize and speak truth to power and organize some black people. I need you to show that you're not dead and get going now, not this last minute stuff. 1 week before the event, you just getting it together. Hell no. Get it together now, man. I'm telling you, the devil have come down. I got to run. That the devil have come down with a short while. We don't have a long time to explain and convince you of all this. We have instructions to give out. And we need you to have faith. You ain't got nobody else. Who you really got? Seriously. You say you love Khalid Abdul Muhammad. If you love him, you ain't got nowhere else to go but right here. We are his students and carry his program and advance his program. You ain't got many options out here. You either going to get over there and go with Minister Louis Farrakhan, or you're going to come right here in this United Front and this Panther Party and this movement. or you're going to try to find Minister Silas Muhammad, or try to find Omali Eshetelli and them out there, or Inbuff out there. But I'm going to every black nationalist and Pan-Africanist leader and tell them we must unite. We must unite in this day and time. Don't leave me out here like Noah, calling and calling, telling you that a flood is coming. A flood of apathy is coming. A flood of propaganda from the enemy is coming that's dumbing our people's minds down. A flood is coming when our elders pass away and there's a flood of misinformation out there. I'm telling you, it's coming right now. So we need to get on board the same ship. We came on the same ships, and we need to get on the same ship and get our minds right now. I need your support. We need your support. You can trust us. We'll never let you down. We'll never sell out. We're not perfect, by no means. But damn it, right now we deserve your support. I want to see you on fire for 60 cities or more October 1st. On fire, getting us these clothes and getting us these school supplies to help our brothers and sisters in Africa. On fire to support these black farmers. On fire to show Michael Nutter that he's nuts. On fire to not let white men rape black women and walk around New York City. On fire to stop this black-on-black violence. If you will just trust me, what the hell am I going to do? Am I going to steal something from you? I've never taken a dime from you. What am I trying to do, be seen or known? Hell no, I've been at that. I'm asking you to trust me and let me help you. Help me to help you. Let us work together. Stop being niggas, because the devil is on the loose and his wrath is great. May Allah bless you as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum and black power.
Okay, Black Power, family, Black Power, we lost the transmission here with our national chairman. Don't know exactly what happened, but evidently, laying it down so cold and so bold, Blog Talk felt it necessary to shut down the transmission. So we will come black at you. We'll come black at you again this Wednesday. This Wednesday at 8 p.m., we'll come back for round two. And we'll make sure that we see if we can get everything together and everything tight. Although it's no issue on our end, this again is on the network itself. But if you want to, if you're interested in helping the movement and continuing this work and doing what we do, get with us at nbpphq@yahoo.com and our website, so you can check out all our activities and everything that we got going on. For right now, it's dayofactionmovement.org. Again, I'm Sean Kwali. We thank you for listening. We ask that you join us again for another Power Pack presentation of Black Power Radio, the hardest hitting, most black nationalist revolutionary radio anywhere to be found in the hills of North America. Black Power.